Amen. Good to see everybody. Good to be with you.
Yes.
We thank God for everything Brother Ike planted here.
That's right.
How many years ago now? Was it 65 when it began? Is that the right year? Yeah, so the work of God is standing and going forward. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the important thing. God didn't put us here to stay. He put us here to leave. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're all going to leave and be part of this heritage one day, just like those that went on before us. And so we're glad to be a part of that heritage. And I know you are too. And we want to trust God for his goodness and grace and believe him. Amen. All things with him are possible. All things. We forget about that sometimes. We take it for granted because we watch too much news or we listen to too much of the noises around us, and we began to think God's losing his power, and maybe our party's not seeming to be in advance in the things we like to see or that kind of thing. But all of this stuff around us, you know, other people's got other things going on. They got the smaller kids and they're running five ways from Sunday and don't know what to do and how they're going to do it all. So whatever it is that comes along and troubles us, it's not a brand new thing, amen? And so we know that Solomon said there's how many new things under the sun? None. No new thing under the sun. There's nowhere you're going or nowhere you've been that God doesn't know about, and somebody's already traveled that path before you. No new thing. And so those things we see them, they may be new to us. They may be things we didn't expect. We were blindsided. We didn't see them coming. And I think that happens a lot to a lot of different people, especially as you grow older or you encounter sickness or problems or just the growing pains of life. All of those things come. Amen. And we're going to talk about some people that had some things they wanted to overcome in Mark chapter 2, if you got your Bible. Mark chapter 2 of God's Word. We want to see some things right here. And so I'm glad to know, amen, that the Lord is still on the throne. Amen. And he's never going to yield that throne. And he's never going to abuse that throne. We see a lot of abuse of power nowadays, don't we? And so, but you're never going to see abuse of power with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God is a righteous God. And he can do no wrong. Amen. And he's always right, Brother John said. And he never misses it. And he never changes his mind. Amen. He says, you know, sometimes when you're around people that are, they got too many variables and you don't know. We all know somebody that you probably work with or were kin to. Don't call their name out loud. But you never knew what side of the bed they were going to wake up on. They were unpredictable, and so you had to feel and make sure their feelings were what you thought they were today. And so the Lord's not like that. He never changes. He is a fixture, amen, if you will, for the church. Why? Because he's a constant. That's the word I'm looking for. He's a constant, and he never changes. Thank God for that. So here we see it. Mark chapter 2, if you're waiting on me to get there. I want you to see the disciples are beginning this brand new thing of ministry. And so they don't know much about it, much like I don't. I've been preaching since 1987, and I don't feel like I know much about it. And so Brother Donnie probably feels that way. And we all feel like we're inadequate. You know why? Because that's what the old man does. The new man doesn't do that. The old man does. And it always speaks doubt. And so if you've noticed this, you don't have to find books out there in the bookstore that teach you how to doubt. That comes naturally. All the books in the bookstore are about making you believe. Believe in yourself. Believe in this. Believe in that. And some of them teach us to believe in God. Amen. And so you got all of these things. Why? Because human nature itself teaches us to doubt. Amen. That's why Jesus dealt with it so much. And he's always sitting by the fire encouraging those 12 to quit doubting and start believing. And so they're trying to get their head wrapped around this in Mark chapter 2 is where we're looking. See it with me. See it with me if I can find my place quickly here. Verse number 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not so much. I like how Mark wrote this. He said, bless God, not so much as about the door. They couldn't even get to the door, and Christ is preaching the word unto them. See this now. There's no room to receive them. And so they got their head up against the door or the window or whatever they can do to hear. And so they want to hear Christ. The people are pressing. That's a brand new message. It's a brand new call. It's something going on that's never happened in this town before. And so while he's here, he's wanting to teach and preach God's word. And so he's doing that. And they come to him bringing, verse 3, one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. Now, they're not talking about the newscasters, not talking about that press. They're talking about the abundance of people. And so they want to get this man. They like this fella who's laying on the bed. And so that's much like a cot, much like you would see an ambulance cot. And so they got him, and they got 4 folks. He's got him on one shoulder apiece. And so, but the word said he was born of 4. You know what that means? Not 4 years old. He's got 4 folks toting him. And so here they're bringing him, and everything's going good. I think they was probably even trotting a little bit because they heard Jesus was in the midst. And so they believe, brother, they know if we can get him to Christ, something good might happen. Why? Because we've heard about some miracles where Jesus has done some things and crazy things, you know, things we can't even explain. And so we don't know all about him, but bless God, if we can get our friend over here, we'll just call him Joe Bob. If we can get Joe Bob over there to Jesus, he might just get a touch and he might get well. You know, insurance wasn't working real good back then. Blue Cross Blue Shield was kind of puttering along. And so they wasn't trusting in the doctors and the facilities and all of these things. They wasn't counting on all of this physical therapy that we got today. No, they've got to get him to Christ. And if they get him there, their friend, old Joe Bob, might just get healed. He could get healed. Boy, I wish we believed like that. If we could get our folks to Jesus, he might heal them. You know, the family altar is a dying thing today. But what's wrong with taking when your youngin's got a fever, having family altar time and praying God to touch them? Because he will. And praying God to heal those and praying God to help those and calling them out. Bible reading in the homes, a lost heart. And so people today feel like that's unnecessary. I tell you, I remember Melody's 19 now, but then she was 3 or 4 or 5 years old. I don't recall exactly, but I remember when she came after a nightly devotion, we'd cut off everything and turn on the word of God and listen to old brother Alexander Skirby. Nobody can read it better than him, can they? And so old brother Skirby was reading God's word, and it wasn't long from that Melody's told us her little voice was so cute back then, and not that it's not now, of course, but you know how little toddlers are. And she told me and her mama, she said, you know, she wanted to ask Jesus into her heart. And I documented that, wrote it down in the word when she done that, the date of that. And so, you know, all of those things. And we say, well, those things don't matter. Yes, they do. Yes, you do. Why? Because with God's word, we get them to Christ. You know what happened? Well, I was at a funeral yesterday, the church where I got saved. And so it was one of my wife's uncles passed away, and he went there. There was a Pentecostal church in the same yard as the Baptist church. Well, I happened to go to the Baptist church because that's where somebody invited me to. Are you listening? You know why I went there? Because I was invited. My girlfriend's mama said, when deer season's over, y'all going to church. And so as soon as deer season was over, we kept our word. Me and my girlfriend's dad, he'd take me hunting with him. Whatever I needed, he'd get, and he just looked after me like I was one of his own. And so as soon as deer season was over, we went to church. That was the 1st of February, right? Because all deer hunters know in Alabama it goes out the end of January. So that was the 1st of February. Well, I monkeyed around there and listened to that preacher. I didn't know what he's hollering about. But I knew one thing. On May the 4th of 1985, the Holy Ghost struck my heart. I mean struck it. And the preacher preached God's word. Are you listening to this? Somebody got me to Christ. That's the power of the message. And so my girlfriend's mom, who's a dear blessed lady still today, I haven't seen her in a bit, but I'll never forget the fact that she was the one that put the pressure on us fellas who didn't want to go to church. And you know what happened? If you do that, somebody will monkey around and hear enough of the gospel of God that the King Jesus will arrest. That's right. You said, preacher, is he going to put handcuffs on them? He's going to put them on their heart. He's going to put them on their heart, and he's going to arrest them for the cause of Christ. And so that's what happened. The call of God came to me. And so the potbelly preacher, I'll never forget him. I told you the other day I like to buy his lunch every time I get a chance. If I catch him not looking, I'll slip his ticket. You know why? Because I never forget, boy, I tell you, I get emotional about this today, how he thundered God's word, and his wife sang like a mockingbird. Don't tell me you don't need to do what God's give you a gift to do. You need to do it. And you need to do it regularly and faithfully and honorably. And so old brother John's still preaching today, 70 something years old, and still preaching God's word. That's not old, by the way. Still preaching God's word. And we on good standing there, ain't we, Brother Donnie? That ain't old at all. And so here, Brother John's still preaching God's word. His wife's still singing God's songs. And so it wasn't at that point in time God dealt with me, right? He dealt with me. He called me. But you know what happened? There was something in my heart that lacked commitment to that call. And 2 years later, same preacher, same wife singing. Same church, same revival. You know, we all have revival same time, don't we? Lots of times. I come back, and you know what he's doing? Now, we had a good preacher. He couldn't preach. You know, but listen, some preachers preach better than others. Let's just say it. Athletes, some's better than others. And sometimes it's that one person that can get the attention of you or your loved one. And God will use them and hem you up in a corner you can't get out of. Well, that was Brother John. So he come back 2 years later. First Sunday night in May, service began. Preaching, week-long preaching began. And Brother John's thundering God's word again. And the Holy Ghost is dealing with me again. You say, well, it didn't happen right the first time. You know, it's a time when Jesus asked a man, he said, do you see all men clearly? He said, I see men as trees walking. Same book of Mark, I believe. He said, I see men as trees. And you know what he needed? Another touch. And Jesus touched him again. It wasn't that Jesus couldn't do it the first time. But he chose. And he touched him again. In 87, I got touched again by the same word of God. Same spirit of God. Same power of God. And God give me space to repent. Now that's the book of Acts talking right there. God gives sinners space to repent. God gives us opportunity. No, he's not going to wrangle you down and put you in the figure four and make you cry uncle. He ain't going to do that, but he's going to give us space to repent. We ought to tell our loved ones that God gives us a window of opportunity. People say, well, I'll get saved whenever I get ready. You tell people you can get saved whenever you get ready. Don't tell them that. It ain't so.
No.
Tell them the truth of God.
Amen.
You get saved when God calls or you don't get saved.
Yeah.
It's by invitation, divine invitation. How many people have come and listened to somebody say you can get saved whenever you get ready? That's not so. That's not so. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
Right.
And here we see this, that God's call is a precious thing. Well, listen, what if God never calls again? How many people slip out of here thinking, I'll get right with God when I get ready, and boom, somebody's in the wrong lane of traffic and it's a head-on collision and they're gone.
Yes.
Can't get saved whenever we get ready. If it's a new birth, God's involved in that new birth, and without the call of God, you can't come. There has to be a divine invitation. There has to be an acceptance. God speaks, come unto me. How many people did Jesus encounter and see them? All right, let's take the rich young ruler. What do the words say? He went away sorrowful. Remember, he come running. Did a hook slide up right to King Jesus and said, "Woo, Lord, show me, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said, "I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. Ain't that good enough?" Jesus said, "What? One thing thou lackest." Oh, he knew where his heart lay.
Oh, yeah.
"One thing thou lackest. Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor." Oh, can't do that. Can't do that. He didn't go the way in the giddy up then, did he?
No.
The word said he went away very sorrowful.
Yeah.
Can't do that. God's demands are placed on our life with his talk.
Right.
Let's talk about my experience. Had I never come back to God's house to hear God's word again, listen, I prayed the sinner's prayer. I've done those things, and I'm not casting doubt on anybody's call. I'm talking about my experience. Had I trusted in something I said or done prior to that, without getting right with God, it's expedient that you get right with God, and you know you're right with God. And so here, this rich young ruler went away very sorrowful. There's been a lot of people that's come and love the thought of being a believer and staying out of hell. That's what most people worry about the most. I don't want to go to hell. If they believe in hell, they say, I don't want to go to hell. And so therefore, I'll say the things I need to say. Salvation is a brand new birth. Amen. Salvation is a new creature. That's what it is. And if there's no new birth, there's no salvation. You know why that rich young ruler went away sorrowful? There was no new birth. You know why saved people go away joyful? I'm not saying they understand everything. I understood nothing when I got saved, but I understood one thing. Christ apprehended. Paul used that word, didn't he? Christ apprehended my old dark heart. And anything that happened good that night, he done it. And anything that good happened since, he done it, by the way. Isn't that true?
Amen.
If there's anything good in us, it's him. And so the rich young ruler never found that out as far as we know. I hope he did, but we don't have a record of it. But look in Mark 2. Let's follow through. We're getting sidetracked here. So they came, one bringing one sick of the palsy, verse number 3. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they broken it up. Now, I don't know whose house they breaking up, but they ain't worried about it, are they? And the word said they broke it up, and they let the sick of the let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto them, the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. I don't want to talk about the scribes right now. We ain't too worried about them. We know they were doubtful, didn't believe anything. We ain't studying them. We're talking about what Christ done right here. See this. When he saw their faith, they let down the bed. Listen, they are taking the tiles off the roof. They are uncovered. Listen, these fellas got a friend. They want to get him to Jesus. Why? Because he needs to be healed. And he needs to be healed now. God, give us an urgency like that. And so here, the next thing you know, you hear somebody fire off a McCullough chainsaw, and they're cutting the roof off the house. You know, it's maybe a thatch. I don't know what it was, what kind of adobe material they had back then. But I tell you, somebody's got the saw going, and they're taking off. Yeah, it wasn't a real McCullough. It's an imaginary McCullough, okay? And so they're taking that imaginary saw, and they're taking the tiles off the house, and they got a hold. I'm wondering what the owner's doing, don't you? The owner's thinking, my God, King Jesus, yeah, I'm good with him, but I don't know about this roof job here. And so here, they got a hole big enough. They could. I'm trying to picture this man laying on the bed, ain't you? And he's laying on the bed, and he's like, and one thing I know, I'm going up, and next thing I know, I'm going down. And so I'm going to tell you, it took a lot of trust for that fella, didn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of trust that they're going to pick me up over the wall. The roof's already been removed. They say Jesus is in there, but I ain't saw him. And so all of this doubt, this is what happens. Listen, don't you know this is what happens when God calls a sinner? And so here they've got so much doubt going on, and what is going on, and what do people think going on? And Jesus is in there teaching. And so here those fellows are dedicated and committed to one thing. They've got to get their friend to Christ. They got to get him to Christ, and they got to do it now. And so they're letting him down with ropes. And Jesus is still teaching. Sawdust is flying. Pharisees getting their nice little long robes dirty. You know what they had? They had long robes. They had long noses, didn't they? Yeah, and they had long faces. Why? Because there wasn't no joy in that outfit.
That's right.
And so we see it here. They're sitting there watching this. No, those folks won't get out of the way where they can get Jesus in easily, but they're going to have to do it the hard way. And I want to tell you something in that church that says, whatever it takes, get those you know and love to Christ.
Amen.
Get them to Christ. Go pick them up. Don't wait on them to meet you. That's an easy way to turn you down or back out or just get skittish or nervous or whatever. And that's an easy human tendency just to back out. Listen, go pick them up. Say, bless God, I'll be glad to come get you. They got this fella and they're hauling him. He's probably said, fellas, y'all just let it go. Let it go. We can't get in there. Doubt speaking out, and they're like, bless God, we're not stopping. Listen, we got a way to get those shingles off the house. And bless God, we got some ropes. Old Billy Bob's got some ropes out there in the truck. We're gonna ease you down there to King Jesus. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna get you to Jesus, and we'll go up on top, and we'll come down inside, and we'll get you to Christ. And you say, that's not important. It's mighty important. It's mighty important. Jesus even paid attention to it. Watch now. And the word said this, that when he saw, watch, when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let him down, and the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Here it is, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith. He saw their faith. Now you know what that says? God does good things on the behalf of those who love him. And it wasn't the man's faith that he's commending. It's the ones that's trying to get their friend to the Lord. I mean, they're doing whatever it takes. And he sees that, and the word said, when he saw, boy, you could stop right there, and there's the sermon. When he saw their faith, those fellows were probably dusty, rusty. I mean, looking bad, everybody's staring, thinking, my God, somebody go call Alpha, they done tore the roof off the house. Jesus is in there still preaching and teaching, still doing those things he's doing. He's paying attention to everything that's going on. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. This is what people do. An invitation comes, Spirit of God's over there, and your heart's going pitter-patter, pitter-patter. The Holy Ghost is calling, and what do? We began to reason in our hearts why we don't need to go tonight, maybe tomorrow night. Not this Sunday, maybe next Sunday. Maybe not this year. You know, I'm still a single fella and running wild and sowing my oats and all those things. Maybe next year. They're reasoning in their hearts. When he saw it, why doth this man speak thus blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? But look down into verse 12. Jesus said, if you don't believe this, he said, believe the other thing I've got right here. And he said, I say unto thee, he wanted to know, why reason these things in your heart? It's easy. Is it easier to say this or do this? And look into verse number 11. I say unto thee, he said, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. So they don't know who they're dealing with. They don't know why this crowd's gathered up. They don't know why these... Listen, you know what I'm trusting? I'm trusting those fellows that's getting up on the roof, getting the work done. I believe they've already saw something at a prior meeting or heard something, and bless God, faith was imparted in their heart, and they knew they had a friend in trouble, and that friend needed Christ. It's what they knew. That's why they taking the shingles down. They weren't El Destructos. They was just trying to get somebody to the Lord that needed him. And that's the job of the church. It's our job. Get them to Christ. Get them to Christ. And so here, as we wrap up, I want you to see this part. And immediately he arose. He said, so you may know. Verse 12. Immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. Watch now. They were all. See that? They were all amazed. But not only so, they all glorified God. Even the unbelievers are glorifying God. If what we do is unnoticed or barely noticed or hardly noticed, that's okay. When it's all said and done, if the thing God laid on our heart to do brings glory to Him, we've done the job, haven't we? Because, yeah, they got the man to Christ, and he got off the bed and walked. He didn't need it no more. They all saw that. They saw that. But they would have never saw that if these men weren't willing. The sinner would have never been saved. The cripple would have never been healed. The Pharisees would have never saw. Maybe that would have been their only event that they showed up to Christ and saw. And they might have been out of town all the other times. We don't know. But we know this. They glorified God, and they watched a fella that has never walked get up off of bed and leave out of there and say, thank you, King Jesus, and all you other jacklegs, we'll see you later. That's the joy. He went out walking, toting his bed. He wasn't in it. He didn't need it. But he's carrying it with him. Insomuch, he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorify God. And you know what they said? We've never saw it. Never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside and resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting the cedar custom, and he said, "Follow me." And you know what he done? He got up and followed him. He arose and he followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with him and the disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. I read that to say this. The obedience of one. Think about those four fellows that said, "We are not going to sit still." It's unorthodox. Somebody's probably going to get mad. The building committee's probably going to cuss us out. You know, the insurance on the man's house probably ain't going to want to pay. But they were willing to take a risk, take a chance. And you know what? You know what we get engaged with? Something a lot simpler than that, as reaching people with the gospel. Encouraging them. Inviting them. Bringing them to Christ. And that's what they done. They brought them to Christ, and they brought Christ to him. And when they couldn't get in, remember Jesus couldn't get in? They said, "We'll take care of that. We'll take care of that." Church, we don't want to take no for an answer. That's what these fellows have shown us. Don't take no for an answer. Don't wait till your loved ones leave this world and say, "I should have. I should have." God put something on your heart, you obey him. You don't want to have to live with "I should have said more about the Lord." Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Donnie's going to come. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the good word of God, for everything you share with us, Lord, through your text. God, we thank you for the writers, and we thank you for those that's published God's word. And Father, we bless you to speak it to our hearts. And Lord, inspire us to go forward with the gospel call. No matter what this world says, it's never a time to stop. Reaching, drowning men and women, boys and girls that know not the power of Christ and the relationship with Christ. God, we ask you to move and rescue the perishing, care for the dying, because Jesus is merciful and Jesus will save. Grant it, we pray. In his name we ask. And all God's saints said, amen.